Hey everyone, we'll get you to the show in a second. Just want to give you the heads up about our latest Red Men Plus special offer. If you want even more Liverpool content in your lives, both in video and podcast forms, simply head to redmenplus.com. And if you sign up as a yearly captain subscriber and use the promo code RACE, R-A-C-E, you'll get 50% off a yearly subscription. So yeah, that'll get you covered for the rest of this amazing season, the search for a new manager, the summer transfer window, and pretty much all of the new manager's first season as well. So yeah, redmenplus.com, yearly captain subscription, promo code RACE, and get 50% off. I'll see you all over there. Hope you enjoy this podcast that's about to start right now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We are all here as representatives and fans in our own way of football clubs, all who will be impacted by the talk of this breakaway European Super League. I'm Paul Machin. Alongside me is Chris Pajak of Red Men TV. We've got Mark Goldbridge of the United Stands. We've got Flav from the Fighting Cock. We've got Rory Jennings, who almost needs no introduction in and of himself. Robbie Lyle of AFTV and Steve McInerney of Esteemed Company. It's mad. We've all been sat here for sort of 10 minutes or so getting this all set up. And, you know, I think we've all been having the same conversations we've all been having amongst our friends and family and the audiences and what have you over the last day or so. But we're going to try and get stuck into it and kind of see how everyone feels on all this. And Robbie, I'll start with you, mate. I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. I can't wrap my head around it. I can't wrap my head around it. It's real. I've got no life experience that I can compare to. It just feels like something's been stolen almost.
Yeah, so I'm still disgusted by the whole thing. I'm angry. You know, you would have thought that, you know, a club like Arsenal, we haven't been in the Champions League for a couple of seasons. So, you know, you'd have think to yourself, well, maybe we should be happy because it guarantees that we'll be in it every year. But no, I'm an Arsenal fan and I love my football club. I supported them since the 80s. But first and foremost as well, I'm a football fan. And how is this fair? How do you look a Leicester fan in the eye, a West Ham fan in the eye right now? Because remember, we're talking about Big Six. Those two occupy the Champions League places at the moment. You know what I mean? So, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I just look at the owners of our club at Arsenal. For years and years on AFTV, we've been complaining about these guys and the fans in general have been complaining about these owners. They never ever engage with the fans. They, you know, they just do what they want. And this is just another example. And it's no surprise that four of the six clubs are owned by American owners. And this format is like an American sort of sports format where basically there's no promotion, no relegation. You're involved in it. Big TV money. You all chop it up together and share it. It's a cartel. It's a cartel what they're looking to do. This is not how our football runs. And I'm just utterly disgusted by it. No consultation whatsoever with the fans. Yeah. Nothing. And I was really interested actually even yesterday to hear that Jurgen Klopp was saying that the players didn't even know about it. So the two most important people to do with football, players and fans, have had no consultation on something that's going to impact them like this. And I think it's an utter disgrace. And I feel ashamed right now of my club. I see them put out something earlier on about stopping abuse online, which I 100% are behind. Mm-hmm. But I can't even take it seriously coming from them. Mm. I can't take anything now. I mean, even if they reverse this decision, I don't know if I can look on them the same way anymore because I feel like, honestly, I've been betrayed by my own club.
I think the betrayal thing's really interesting. And Flav, I want to come to you. And look, I want to make a point because doubtless people do, because it's YouTube and there'll be YouTube comments. And I'm sure you've received more than your fair share of banter around this, Flav. And we do this with you on general shows and what have you, that, you know, with Tottenham. But I know that, I know you personally and how, you know, we've been friends for a number of years and how your approach to football, you've always kind of been a little bit different to all of us. You know, it's, you've never really bought into the you've never really enjoyed the capitalist side of football, you know, the big sponsors, the big side of things. You know, you've always liked the grassroots side of it. I mean, Tottenham's inclusion, how does that happen with you at all? but that's the obvious joke. But I mean, you know.
No, it's fine. Looking get it out of the way. It's fine. Everyone's thinking it. It's all right. It's first off, like Robbie, I'm ashamed. I'm absolutely ashamed. I wasn't surprised when I saw Tottenham Hotspur as a part of that six, because I understand the way our chairman works and the business behind our football club. And the shameful thing about this is this, and the thing that's most abhorrent is the fact that it removes competition away from it. So you can get the biggest amount of capital return in return for doing the least amount of work and earning it, right? But the reason why Tottenham Hotspur, and this is the most interesting inclusion in it, the reason why Tottenham Hotspur are in this is because we're ranked in the top 10 most valuable clubs in the Forbes list, right? Yeah. We generate the money and we generate the global audience that makes us worthy of a place in it. It has nothing to do with football. Has nothing to do with the players, has nothing to do with the manager. It's about how well has the club been branded globally. And, you know, I'm grateful for once that the Premier League and Sky Sports are on the right side of the fight, but they're a part of the problem. They have been a part of the problem for a long, long time due to all the amazing work that the Premier League done of rebranding the game in the initial breakaway league that happened in 1992. Let's not forget that the Premier League was a breakaway league from the Football League. That happened. There were five clubs involved in that breakaway club, Tottenham being one of them, Liverpool, I can't remember the others, but there was five clubs involved, and they engineered a greater take of the football income in order to have a Premier League breakaway, right? That has laid the foundations for what's happening now. So no one should be surprised, but it doesn't make it mean it's less palatable when it happens. It's horrible to take. But this has been heading this way. And if you need proof that fans don't matter, that the players don't really matter and only the owners matter, then this is it. And that's why this feels like the kind of final fight. This feels like the one. If we lose this one, then football is fucked.
I agree with that. Rory, I want to kind of get your take on this. You know, I suppose, you know, and obviously some of this will apply to some extent to City and Stay as well. So I'll get your take on it as well. But obviously Chelsea became the sort of poster child for the speeding up of this process of more money coming into the Premier League, etc. You know, I know you've spoken in the past about you know, maybe just in passing conversation with myself about like a split in Chelsea's fan base of like, there's the global Chelsea fans who don't go to the game and would never go to the game, who have a little bit of contempt for people who do, and those kind of things. You know, what's been your take and what's been your if you had your finger on the pulse of Chelsea fans, what would you think the reaction's been?
I mean, it's been unanimously hostile to this. I think if there's one thing that has pulled everyone together, it's this abhorrent news. Like, people are livid, and rightly livid. I think what's very disappointing from Chelsea, and this is twofold. Firstly, you know, when there was pretty much a duopoly in the Premier League, so Arsenal and Manchester United were the teams that were winning the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Chelsea managed to break into that. Chelsea managed to become another team and make ourselves relevant. What we're effectively doing now, we've managed to break in and become relevant, is pull the ladder up and say, nobody else can do that. We've done it. Yeah. We've got into the club, but you're not allowed, which is so hypocritical and so disgraceful. And the other thing, which I just find so out of order, is, okay, all well and good, Chelsea are in it, fine. Imagine if this had been created 3 decades earlier. In fact, imagine if this had been created at any point between 1972 and 1997. Chelsea are nowhere near it. And yet we are happy to form our own club, head off with the big boys, and pretend that this is the right thing to do. Chelsea have managed to do something that I thought would be truly impossible. We've managed to put a statement on our website and not have one word on that statement from anyone associated with Chelsea. Chelsea had the audacity to put a quote from Joel Glazer.
Yeah.
On our website. Is that just the most terrible thing you've ever heard?
Pathetic, isn't it? Absolutely pathetic.
It's the same for me, man. It's like, I mean, it's weird to think that even just over a decade ago, I wouldn't be sat here now in this conversation with you guys, because Man City simply wouldn't be there. And I'd be an adult at that point. Well, I wouldn't be some kid, you know, just looking up at Manchester City. I would have already accepted Manchester City as a large part of my life at that point. So it's weird to think that we are pulling up that drawbridge, and we are writing off the potential futures. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, but it is as deep as that, in my opinion. We are writing off the potential futures or at least the competitive level of football for the likes of Leicester, West Ham, Everton, all these teams with a rich football heritage and history. And the one thing I want to say is I'm aware that fans were relatively hypocritical. We did sit there and we enjoyed the Premier League and all this kind of stuff and whatever, but we are inherently human, and humans are inherently hypocritical as well. But I think there comes a moment using a discussion where this, where there's a line, and I think we realise just how far the game has been drifting away from us as fans and how long we've sat there and thought, you know, it's all right, it's not too bad, we get the entertainment and all that kind of stuff. And I'm guilty of this, and most of us are guilty of this as well, of just kind of going along with it. But sometimes the curtain is pulled back and you see behind the scenes, and it's fucking ugly. It's absolutely disgusting. And you realise quite quickly how little, actually, I don't think any of us fully realise it, how little we really don't matter, how little we are nothing more, as Pajak's statement put out, just customer 00126789, whatever. And I think we all suspected it, but deep down, we denied it. And I definitely did. And once again, the hypocritical nature, we're sat here, all of us, we make a living from football as well. We're aware of this, and we've all worked for these companies. And I'm not going to sit there and pretend to be holier than any other fan or whatever, because we've been on Sky, we've been on BT, and we've talked about this, and we've been paid for it as well. So we're aware of that. But still, even then, despite that, it blows our minds about everything, just how far this greed can go to another level. Because make no mistake, it's entirely about money. It's not about competition, as we know. It's not about anything else other than making X amount of more money profit each year. It's I saw someone say, look at the stock market for United over the last 5 years. Yeah. It's been flat. Then you look at the stock market value of the top businesses in America, and it's like 30 times higher. And that's all these companies, that's what they care about, quite literally. Yeah. And like, it's crazy. And I am disappointed in my club. I am not even remotely surprised, but I'm sad and I am offended and I am heartbroken, because once again, you hold on to this idea that there is some emotional connection there still, and that they do care about you. And maybe at one point they did. And do you know what? The staff probably do. They are fans like the rest of us. I know people who work in Manchester City. You guys will know people who work at the club as well. And they are just people like the rest of us. I found out from a good friend of mine. He got an email from Manchester City. I'm not going to name names because I know plenty of people work at the club. They got an email about it after it had already gone live, you know. Yeah. And that's how little they even care about the staff at work there. Guardiola's come out today and he found out just beforehand as well. And it's like, this is a most cynical cash grab from people who do not care about us. And I don't think it's really even sunk in fully yet how little football is going to change. Even we'll go against it, but it's going to get messier and messier. And we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, and it's scary, in my opinion.
I agree. And so, to obviously Mark and Chris, who've been very patient so far and all this, but thanks
nice
everyone
to listen
so
to
far.
Us for a bit.
but Mark and then on to Chris, I think the thing that's kind of strange, but this applies to Arsenal as well, of course, but I look at Manchester United and look at Liverpool, and I think it sounds daft, but and this is where I think tribalism needs to be put aside, because this is one of those situations where I'm so aghast by this, and rival fans won't get this because we're all the enemy. We're each other's enemies in that regard. Every other club is the baddies, and you and your club are the goodies. But I looked at if it was Man City and Chelsea coming out with this, you'd be like, oh well, typical. These are the new money, and they've come in. This is Liverpool and Manchester United. This is the old money of
of English football as well, who were, you know, in the driving seat for all this. And, you know, in this notion of, and we've seen a little bit of unity between Liverpool and United fans in the last season or two, I think, in this, like, well, you know, we're the most successful clubs in this country, and there's a grudging footballing respect for those two teams, as though we've somehow got this more like organic, you know, thing behind them. But to Steve's point, which I think is absolutely spot on, the curtain's been lifted back, and I think what we all deep down knew, but we maybe feared and hoped it wasn't true, that exactly that, it's a bunch of billionaires who don't give a shit about us, no matter where we're from or whatever. They've gone and made this decision with zero consultation, and any idea that we support the goodies in this is complete and utterly incorrect. Everyone in this are the baddies.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've hit the nail on the head there. And in all fairness, a week ago, and I wish we were a week ago, I was slating Man City. I was saying they're ruining football. They've got two first teams. They're just going to dominate football forever. And I said last night on the United Stand, I apologise to Manchester City, because anything that you've done to ruin football, my football club has destroyed. We are the ringleaders of this Super League. Ed Woodward started at JP Morgan. He helps Manchester United be bought by the Glazers at JP Morgan, and JP Morgan are funding the Super League. Manchester United are the enemy. My football club is the enemy. And Liverpool and Manchester United have the history, as you say, with fans and football and the European Cup especially, that we should never be turning our back on that, and our fans as well. Stabbing fans in the back, players in the back, everybody. I've cried tears of joy. I've cried tears of pain in relation to things that have happened with my club. And yesterday I had a moment where I felt like I was going to cry again, because I just think that as a football fan, I'm disgusted. Like Robbie said, like everybody's saying, I'm disgusted with Manchester United for what they've done. The only positive I would take from this is that, you know, what Pep Guardiola said, he's my manager. If Jordan Henderson is getting the captains together, he's my captain, because I'm a fan of football. I personally would have no problem with Manchester United being kicked into the National League. If they took the club away from the Glazers and gave it to the fans, I'd go to the National League. I'd start again. I'd do what happened with Rangers. I'd happily do it, because the real fans of the club wouldn't have a problem with that if you get your identity back. And the positive thing I think from that is that not one of us, as fans of clubs who are in this Super League, are thinking, oh, well, we're in it. Let's pull the ladder up. And that, to me, shows what football fans are all about. Because when you get things like Hillsborough and when you get things like Munich and you look back to the past, football comes together. And this is not a tragedy and this is not a loss of life, but this is a loss of football. And every part of football is those loss of lives. It's the victories, it's the memories. And that's what these greedy people are taking away from us. And I'm really proud that all of us and all the fans of all these clubs all around the world, not just in this country, in Italy, in Spain, are outraged. And I absolutely back, if the government can do anything, if anybody can do anything, I will take that punishment, because it can't just be, well, we tried it, it didn't work, let's go back to what it was. No chance. You have stabbed football in the back, and all of you involved in it should pay the price. I want them out of football. I want our football back.
We spoke briefly about this, Chris, because we've had some super chats which we'll get to, and there's been a statement from the Premier League which I'll read in a moment, of course. But this is the problem with all of this, of course, is that, you know, we've been distracted from all the wider issues, and the problem with this is that it's nothing but greed. Because if these clubs have come out and said, we're not happy with how UEFA are running the game, we think UEFA are basically stealing a load of money based on our exertions, they've monopolised football. It's a point you made earlier. There are no alternatives to the Champions League. You've got no choice but to compete in their competition. Sign up or you're out. But if they come out and said that, made that their platform, I think people would be more
fuck
on board.
Them. Fuck, they don't get to decide the future of football. Six people, six exactly. families, regardless, don't get to decide the future of football. Football needs a hard fucking reset. Everything now that we do as fans is important as part of that reset. Football is too much about money. Football needs to be put a salary cap in for a start. You need to make sure you are looking after the little guy, the little football clubs. And I'm not talking about the English football clubs. I'm talking about every European football club. UEFA ain't going to fix the problem. They're corrupt. FIFA aren't going to fix the problem. They're corrupt. The six elite families who want to make billions and billions off it aren't going to fix football. They're corrupt. We need every football club to come together and decide how football becomes self-sustaining in Europe together. Yeah. That is the only way that football is going to be fixed. The Premier League are looking after their own interests. The FA are looking after their own interests. The six families are looking after their own interests. And football fans just want the best for their community. Yeah. Who's going to be right here? Yeah.
No, it's right. It's right, and that's the problem when money becomes at the root. The Premier League have just released a statement saying the Premier League alongside the FA met with the clubs today to discuss the immediate implications of the Super League proposal. The 14 clubs of the meeting unanimously, it's easy for me to say, and vigorously rejected the plans for the competition. The Premier League is considering all actions available to prevent it from progressing, as well as holding those shareholders involved to account under its rules. The league will continue to work with key stakeholders, including fan groups, governments, UEFA, the FA, EFL, PFA and LMA to protect the best interests of the game and call on those clubs involved in the proposed competition to cease their involvement immediately. The Premier League would like to thank fans and all stakeholders for the support they've shown this week on this significant issue. The reaction proves just how much our open pyramid and football community means to people. And spot on, and this is the thing, isn't it, Robbie? When you see, you know, Florentino Perez coming out as though he's going to be the saviour of the game, like, that prick doesn't speak for me. You know, and he just comes across like a crazy Bond villain style lunatic.
Boris Johnson to lead the fucking buffoons, haven't they?
Yeah. He doesn't matter. He's not afraid to come out and make a tit of himself. But he does it. You look at who you're in this fight with, and you realise if this is the guy fronting it, and he's coming out with this crap, this is what our football clubs have bought into.
He said football's become boring, right? It's become boring because of people like him. Yeah. Right, it's become boring because of the greed that exists in football. It's become boring because of the lack of competition. Right now, Arsenal this season are sitting in ninth. We deserve to be in ninth. We've not had a good season. There is no way I want Arsenal to, you know, automatically next season be in the top competition when we haven't earned it. It's as simple as that, and that goes for every single fan of their club. It's disgusting. And what about the other club? What about Newcastle? What about, you know, Everton?
Well, Everton are a great example, Robbie. Everton, and to Rory's point about, they're the ones who've had the drawbridge pulled up on them because they're rich. They've got as rich owners as anyone. But FFP hamstrung them, and now this.
That's what I was going to say. At the moment, they are seeking to be one of those top teams. They're investing in a brand new stadium. They've bought in top players. They've invested heavily. You know, their fans are getting excited now. And then all of a sudden, now, like, no, you won't be involved. Or actually, well, we may invite you, like it's some sort of party. You know what I mean? It's like you're saying, Chris, your description there, that's what I was saying yesterday. The six families, they are a mafia. It's like the five families in New York. You know what I mean? They are like a mafia, these guys, right? And they... Honestly, I can't look on them the same again. I already knew it with our owners. I already knew it. They never engage with anybody. They never talk to anyone. Nothing. Fans ask them simple questions like, what's your ambitions? Nothing ever comes back from them. I already knew about our lot, but I'm surprised that all these clubs have managed to get together. And I saw like even some of the statements that was coming out where they're saying that the one with Ed Wood was, for instance, where... I think the guy from UEFA was saying, I'm speaking to him on the day. And he was saying, no, everything's fine, man. We're in. Yeah. We're in for new deal and stuff like that. And then he just stabs them in the back. This is what they've been doing to fans for years. And when fans talk about it and moan about it, oh, you lot on AFTV, all you like to do is rant and moan. And you're having a go. I mean, I saw Gary Neville come out and I agree with the things that he said, but I remember him once calling us embarrassing for having a go at these very same things, right? This is why we've been having a go, because it's just disgraceful.
It's the kind of people you're dealing with. Like, you know, you said there that there's something surprising about this. I don't think there is at all. We and look, I'm as guilty of this, if not more guilty than anyone else, but we've got into bed with venture capitalists. And now we're kind of surprised that they're behaving like venture capitalists. This is what they do. They make their money sweat. They squeeze the pound as hard as they can to get as much out of it. And from their perspective, you know, when Chelsea play Brighton or when Liverpool play Burnley, there is literally no point in that fixture. The way they look at it, Manchester United never need to play Sunderland ever again. Chelsea need to play Manchester United in New York City on a Monday. Chelsea then need to play Barcelona in Canberra on a Thursday. And that is how you maximise your money, and that's what they're going to do. And we're all kind of complicit, some more than others. Me and Steve probably got to take the brunt of this. we're complicit in this.
But I don't think you do.
Rory, I disagree. You're not complicit. You want to see a football club winning games, yeah? You're not complicit. You want to see a football club winning games. You all fans, even of the, clubs like yours, have spoke out about these things in the past, but I've not really, you know...
Sorry, lads. Rory's... We are complicit because we all sit there and say, I want this sign and I want that sign. And, you know, and some of us more so than others. But where I disagree, Rory, is I don't think... And this is what I'm sure you have all felt and we all feel, and everyone feels this at different levels of fandom. It's not our fault as fans directly. We haven't chosen this. Not one fan has chosen this. So it's not, you know what I mean? To go down this route is not the blame. To directly say... Because I was talking about this before, people phone me up and go, what are you doing? Like
we feel like we're under attack.
Yeah.
And we feel like, because we're so used to defending our football clubs, aren't we, Steve?
But you know what? You know what, Chris? Sorry.
What I was going to say is like, yeah, go on, Robbie. No, you Robbie. No, what I'm going to say is like the last 10 years, I don't think anyone's had to defend the club more than I have. And I'm not defending that because there's obvious moral and ethical reasons. And I guess what I've always said in that is like, you know what? I'm not an economist. I am not an expert in geopolitical affairs over in other countries. I'm just a Manchester City fan throughout my life. So I understand what it's like to sit there and feel and be told that I am the problem because I've had that literally all for the last 10 to 15 years of my life. That's all I've had. And I guess the point I'm making, I've always said, and this idea that we're complicit, we are, but at the same time, we are just literally football fans who literally just like to watch this team that we've grown up watching. And I guess the point is, like, we've sat there guilty and nodded along and all that kind of stuff, but... Once again, they have this kind of like emotional blackmail of us, these clubs, because it's what we do and it's what we dedicate our lives to. And I guess all we're guilty of is being a little bit naive and being in love in the way that you always forgive your family member for being a bit of a dick or whatever. And you always go back to them even if they break your heart. And that's all we've done, essentially. And I'm not making excuses because sometimes tough love is a thing. And I do admire those who've taken a more principled stance. But I guess the point is right now is like, yes, we're complicit, but at the same time, it doesn't make us the villains. Those two things are very, very different thing. And even though we are there, maybe this is once again the realization that we all need to go around and stop pointing fingers at each other and go, let's actually all just get together, because ultimately we are just fans. We aren't the millionaires actually making, you know, billionaires taking all the money out of the club. We're literally just fans, and maybe more than ever, all this kind of attitude, like maybe this is the time where we need to realize that, and maybe we look at the German model a little bit differently, where, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I do think this is a line in the sand moment where it will change, and it should change, and I hope the social media nonsense changes as well. I hope we all realize that quite literally it's football without fans is quite literally nothing, and I hope we all remember that and go for it, because we've gone through it.
I just wanted to sorry Flav, just quickly, right? I just wanted to say I don't want fans to feel guilty at all here, yeah, because like as an Arsenal fan, right, we were told when we moved from Highbury, where we were quite happy, we were doing well, winning titles, self-sustaining. We were told, right, we're going to move to the Emirates because we want to compete with the very best in Europe, right? And in order to do that, we need a bigger stadium, more income. We went along with that. We moved to the new stadium. We got hit with the highest ticket prices in Europe. So I think that the fans, they had every right to say, well, we're paying a lot of money here. Can you please buy us some really good players? Yeah. Right? And can you please, if you're not buying us those really good players, can you please tell us where that money's going? Yeah. And we got no answers to that, right? And it's just been like a pressure cooker, and it's built up. And it's not just Arsenal. There's many other teams like that. Newcastle fans. And they're just saying, well, if you guys are going to run this and just milk us for as much money as possible, can you at least go out and win us something and buy some really, really good players? But all along, these guys, as Rory put it very well, it's all about making money. They're venture capitalists. That's how they run their sports in America, a lot of them. It's all about making money and repeat the next year because you're always in that top competition. And they can't get their head around the fact that they could miss out. How can Liverpool miss out on the top four? That's crazy, right? Well, you weren't good enough.
Where are they from, Robbie? Where are they from? America.
You know, right. And that's what's happening here. And, you know, fans, I don't want no fans to feel guilty here. The guilty people are these people who run these clubs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do you know what's a scary, very scary prospect? we're now having to align ourselves with UEFA, who apparently now UEFA are the answer. UEFA have fans' interests best at heart. Now, look, lads, you have been to Champions League finals, as have I. I think that we know wholeheartedly, we have proven experience that UEFA could not care less about fans. They give 50%
of 90,000 capacity stadiums and 15,000 tickets
exactly.
And unless it's in Baku.
The big question here is, you know the rest of the tickets, who gets those tickets? So 15,000-16,000 tickets go to fans, great. The rest, they all go to CEOs, sponsors, exactly. So now, you know the principle, my enemy's enemy is my friend? I think it's a very dangerous one. And if we're going to suddenly say UEFA are the answer, I think we're in for a really rude awakening.
I don't think anyone believes UEFA is the answer, nor of FIFA. We understand how
trade theft. That's what it is.
No, FIFA. I know. I understand. But in this instance, we need, just as fans coming together talking about this issue isn't enough. This would get passed through. We need the fact that Henderson has called a meeting amongst the Premier League captains.
Yeah.
We need Pep Guardiola coming out and making these statements, because just fans here won't cut it, because the match day going fans aren't what's interesting here to this new competition. It's wherever the audience comes from in anywhere on the planet. Now, I'm not saying that fans across the globe or wherever, lots of people that listen to the Fighting Cock don't come from England, they enjoy it and they watch the games, they get up at 2 a.m. We all know the story, right? They're dedicated. But what this new idea, the Super League, is about is it doesn't matter where the fan is from. It doesn't matter where the club is from. If there's enough eyes on that club, then they become a part of the party and they benefit from it. Now, the issue with this is it's not sport for them. It's not football. It's not about fans. It's about the bottom line, and it's about shareholders. And essentially, what you find if you're a chief executive or a director or a CEO of a company, your main obligation is to ensure that the investment from the shareholders is maximized. If they get an opportunity where they're going to generate £500 million a season, and some of these teams will, then they have an obligation to the shareholders to explore that. If they don't, then their position is in a situation where it could be up for review. They could lose their job. So that's the fucking mess we're in, is that they're actually, in terms of running the business, doing the correct thing. They're doing the right thing. But it just doesn't matter with the sport that how they make their money has no interest in how that business is run. But that is the way their business is run. And that's why it's so important to have UEFA, FIFA, Pep Guardiola, all of them talking out against it. Because if it was just fans, I guarantee this would go through without an issue.
But this is why the fans, though. If we make the noise, they talk. So that's it. That's all I've got to quickly say. But if fans make the noise, the Guardiola and the captains, they talk as well. So that's why it's important that we make the noise.
Yeah,
the problem we've got is that if I think the easy way, because I was thinking about this last night, the problem we've got is that they own our clubs, they own our identity.
Yeah.
I think let them piss off around the world on the global Harlem Trotters with their brands, call it Manchester Devils, whatever. But if we could take back our clubs, and we've mentioned the German model, if we could take back our clubs, all of us would say, if you give us Chelsea Football Club, Liverpool Football Club, Manchester United, Arsenal, Man City, we will start in the Championship. We don't care where we'll start. We'll start these clubs again with the fans that we've got. Give us our club back.
Yeah.
The problem we're wrestling with here is we're going to lose our clubs. I think people, myself, I've already said, I don't think I follow United into the Super League because it turns its back on everything that I believe and the reason I support Manchester United. The horrible, scary thing here, and I think why we're reliant, and I'm not very political, but I don't care whether it's Labour, Conservative, Liberal Democrats or the bloody Greenpeace. Green Party, I don't care. If one of them can bring legislation in that take these people away and get 51% ownership back with the fans, I'm fully aware as a United fan, and I'm sure Robbie is as well, I'm sure everybody is, we've been fighting the Glazers for 15 years, and the reason we haven't beat the Glazers is because there's infighting within the fans. But I'd rather deal with infighting amongst fans because, all right, they might not like United Stand, they might not like AFTV, but they love Manchester United. The problem here is that we're losing our clubs.
Chris, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? We've seen this. We've seen what a fractured fan base can look like.
Yeah.
And this is to sort of the point being made by all the lads. This is why we've got to strike now.
because there's never been this kind of unity amongst fans before. And I know we're seeing some of the tribalism and you're seeing people poking fun or like, that's going to exist because there's a bunch of 13-year-old virgins on the internet who just live for the fume. but the point about it is that we can sit here and we've worked with all of these guys. We've all worked together over the years and we've all had a good laugh sitting together and we can all have reasonable discourse over the football. We can come together over a unified love of football. And this is why, you know, there's a real chance to be something. This is not... like, this is not Liverpool. This is not a Liverpool issue. This is not a Man United issue. And it's not these six English clubs issue. This is an everyone issue. Yep. You know, there needs to be unity with the other 14 clubs because they're quite clearly not. The owners of these clubs are fucking wrong. I said this, if they had an issue with UEFA, brilliant. There is this load, like UEFA's a joke. They've added 100 games to the Premier League. FIFA are about to introduce a yearly Club World Cup. Fucking nonsense. Yeah. Who's asked for that? No one's asked for that. They're just doing it. They're just as bad, if not. But the idea that the 12 clubs are going to set themselves up in a Robbie Wade as a cartel is just like, that's not the answer. Get everyone together.
Now, you're absolutely spot on. Look at football right now. Look at Bayern Munich, 9 years on the run, are about to make it. Look at Italy, Juventus have just won the league 9 years. Celtic, up until this year, 9 years on the run. You know, Italy, I mentioned PSG. Already, PSG in France, 7 years, something like that, or 7 and 8 or something because of Monaco, and then they just bought Kylian Mbappe, and then that was the end of Monaco and stuff. Football is fundamentally, the competition side of football is going already. Mm-hmm. The problem that we've got is we need to sort that out. We need to sort those leagues out as well as sorting the European football side of things out. Giving the top clubs, the elite clubs, more money is never going to fix that. Putting elite clubs in a bracket where, and this is where I'm going to sound straight, quite sane, putting an elite club in a league, right, with the same amount of money is actually going to increase the competition. And nobody wants to talk about that right now. Maybe we shouldn't be. But the competition between those clubs is going to be more similar than watching Manchester City beat Burnley 5-0 at the Etihad for the last four times that Burnley have played at the Etihad Stadium against Manchester City, right? There's no fucking competition there. Mm-hmm. So getting elite clubs is not a bad idea, but making it a fucking closed shop is a terrible idea. Yeah. And that's why the European Super League has to be stopped. But we need to sort out the European competition. We need to sort out the leagues. And that's only going to be done by every club getting together and working it out.
How embarrassing, Chris, that you know, yeah, we are all Premier League clubs. And, you know, you've got a president of Real Madrid speaking for the Premier League club saying, we're saving football. There's not a lot wrong with the Premier League. There's a lot wrong with La Liga. There's a lot wrong with Serie A. The Premier League is the elite league. Now, yeah, look, Man City have run away with it. Liverpool, very powerful club. Arsenal, Manchester United, Spurs and Chelsea, very rich clubs. But we have got Leicester and West Ham in the top four. And if you take Man City out of the equation, who are doing very well, but weren't last year, we've got a really good league, we've got a really good brand, and it's so disappointing that we've jumped ship from Leicester and West Ham and Everton, and Newcastle could have been billionaire-owned last year as well. So we've got the product, and we're turning our back on it.
I think it's mad because you're right, in Spain, you know, for Barcelona and Real Madrid, the Florentino Perez is like, it's a bit like, and I find this interesting, I'll come to Steve on this in a sec, because I know you guys have had a bit, don't vibe with UEFA and haven't done for a while, but like the Florentino Perez thing reminds me a bit of, like, they're so used to having it their own way. It's a bit like if you get like someone who's never been told no, you know, and they had money for so long that they're so used to being right and surrounded by people being right that they presume they're right all the time. And I wonder about the UEFA stuff, Stan. I wonder whether the Man City approach on this or opinion on this is a little bit like an example. If you go to a party and everyone in that party does drugs and you do drugs and you walk into that party, that's going to seem like normal. But if you've never done a drug in your life and you walk into a party and everyone's doing drugs, you're going to be like, fuck me, this is mad. Why is everyone doing drugs? And I think like that's what UEFA looks like. From the outside looking in, like, I wonder, is there something, you know, all the other established big clubs have just, it was like osmosis, it's grown in, it was pernicious, it's seeped in, we've not seen it coming. And City kind of walked into this, you know, City fans have come from, you know, from being down divisions ago. This is mad. Why do you all think this is really good?
No, you're right. I do genuinely think I've got a relatively unique perspective on it because I've watched City, you know, in the old Division Two, and I've watched as, and that's where they were my formative years as a football fan, watching us down there. So City have whether it's right or not, and I don't really care about the club's perspective, but as a City fan, we've definitely always felt like the ones that weren't welcome, and maybe that was justified as well. I don't really know, and fundamentally, I don't really care, if I'm being honest, but it's definitely always felt like we were the party that we weren't massively welcome, that we weren't there, and we were the new money and all that kind of stuff. And I, to be honest, I think this is coming about because old money don't like new money, because now Manchester City exists, Chelsea exists, and, you know, and the titles that Liverpool used to sweep up in, you know, a long time ago, and United used to sweep up a long time ago, it's no longer guaranteed. So there wasn't that easy possession of money. And my club is complicit in that. Of course it is. But I guess all it's done is made life more difficult for other clubs like United or whatever to make money. And City being big, powerful, spend all that money, it's kind of elevated this. And I don't really buy it. Like, you know, the City allegedly one of the only clubs, one of the clubs, and like Chelsea apparently, who are a bit unsure. I don't think it's because they're morally unsure. I think it's simply because they probably can afford it, where I feel like Spurs, for example, they just can't afford it. And I think that's the only difference. I think City have just done it because, like, well, because as Flav said, their shareholders would be like, well, you're obligated in your role to do it, which is not even close to an excuse, and I'm still embarrassed. But I think that's the only reason City didn't initially jump in bed, because they don't need the money right now because they've got a 30-year plan, whereas someone like Arsenal and Spurs, they owe an awful lot of money to the Bank of England. So I think that was the only reason they weren't there. But I guess that makes it even more sickening that they weren't willing just to stand up and make a principled statement, because once again, they can afford it. But I guess maybe we're being naive and expecting something from a bunch of people, once again, who don't really give a shit. But it is weird seeing it. And UEFA aren't the answer. FIFA aren't the answer. As Guardiola said, the Premier League have a vested interest in it as well. They all do. It's eye-opening, I guess, but I don't even know who we side with now. Like, who do we side with? Do we side with each other? Like, that's the crazy thing, isn't it? Like, who do we turn to? Because the Champions League's horrible as well.
Yeah, it doesn't stop with this, does it, Mark? And that's the point, is that the immediate fight is none of us wants to see. The worst case scenario here is we're all now fans of football clubs that exist only in a Super League. They're expelled from domestic competition, and we're just playing this closed shop European League with six other clubs, and then another few to be decided at some point down the line. None of us want that. I mean, we're seeing a world now where we're just seeing some quotes. Obviously, Pep Guardiola's spoken out against it. Klopp has done it as well. There's a quote I've just seen from Zidane saying, "I'll be straight. This is the business of only one person, the president. I won't tell you my opinion." You know, this is the first steps right now is that the fans have spoken, the fans need to continue to speak, and we need to put pressure on going higher up the pyramid as possible, put pressure on the players and the managers to speak out and start putting pressure on the owners and let them know that we won't stand for this.
Yeah, 100%. I think that the big thing for me, and I'm sure everybody here, and is that, you know, every morning you've got to wake up and feel like you did on Sunday and Monday, because human nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody you care about, you lose, unfortunately, human nature is 3 weeks later, you won't feel as grief-stricken as you did, because the body gets used to that. We've got to keep this fire going every single day, because already you're seeing stuff after 2 days where people are going, "Oh, I'm bored of this. We're linked to Varane." And I'm like, I don't care whether we're linked to Messi. I don't want Varane. You can buy everybody. I'm not interested. You had it last night watching Liverpool. Rory's going to have it tonight with Chelsea. What does it mean when you think that this doesn't going to matter anymore? So we've got to keep it. The fans, all we can do is keep vocal, because actually it's the fans that have probably got the government involved, and it's the fans that have made Gary Neville and Carragher be put forward for the next prime ministers. You know, it's they've got to keep it going. It's hard. That's really hard for human nature to keep it going, because you just get used to the bad thing. We've got to keep it going.
No, I completely 100%. Agree. 100%. Yeah, I know Mark's got to dive out now, but Robbie, I mean, this is where we're at now. I mean, thanks so much.
There it is. Cheers, everyone. Good luck.
And the United stand as well. Robbie, what have you seen any rumblings from Arsenal supporters and stuff, or supporters group about sort of next steps on this?
Yeah, well, funny enough, I was interviewing Tim Payton from the Arsenal Supporters Trust yesterday, and I asked him afterwards, I said, "What do we do? I want to be able to do as much as we can with the platform that we have. What can we do?" And his message to me was, "Robbie, we just got to keep making up as much noise as possible," a bit like what Mark was just saying. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that we're doing on AFTV and...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We're putting together a petition. You know, one of those petitions that you send through and, you know, hopefully get it to government, you know, over 100,000, even a million, if we could get it. They can't ignore those sort of things. So it's keeping the pressure on the government. It's keeping the pressure. I've tried to sit down and work out who can change this. And I'm like, fans, we can make a lot of noise, but they never, ever listen to us. But if we pressure the MPs and the government, they will take action. I don't know how much action they can take, but they can make it very uncomfortable for these clubs. But I really think the key to this is the players. I think if a lot of players start coming out and say, well, you know what? We don't want to play in this. No, no, no. I think if those players say we ain't playing, that league may not happen. I think if the players break, unfortunately, the Super League might happen. So I think... Even though I feel slightly sorry for the players because it's not their choice to go in this league. I mean, these players are friends with guys who play for Crystal Palace and all these other teams that wouldn't be part of this, right? So the players don't want it, but they've got contracts that they're not really allowed to speak out about these things. But we need to really put pressure on the players to side with the fans on this. And I've seen Rashford post things and that's good. And we need to keep that energy going because if the players revolt against this, it might not happen. Yeah. So I think players and also politicians, let's as fans direct our pressure to them. And as I said, it's a bit unfortunate for the players because they never wanted this. It's the owners, but them owners do not listen. Our guys sat on his ranch in Denver with a big cigar right now. He don't even know, he don't give a toss.
Yeah, but they must be over here.
He hasn't for 15 years.
They must be sick as well though, Rob. Can you imagine, you're Harry Kane, right? You've had a brilliant season individually. You've had a terrible season club-wise. The one saving grace is that you are going to captain England. Suddenly there's jeopardy around that. Suddenly, you may not be allowed to even compete in that tournament.
Well, Rory, we were saying, you got Andrew Robertson at Liverpool, who's just captained Scotland to a first Euros in God knows how many years, and he's being told that he won't be able to go and represent. Kieran Tierney, exactly the same. Yeah, Scott McTominay.
Tierney, he loves Scotland. He loves Scotland. Loves playing for Scotland. Same thing. And, you know, it's such, I know those players must be not liking this. Because the other one thing when you say about Harry Kane, even if they don't win the Carabao Cup, the one thing he's got to hold on to, Harry Kane, right, is that he knows that those Tottenham fans love him.
Yeah,
that's why he's still there, right? He knows that those fans love him. How does he look the fans in the eye if he's in his suit?
He's
not even of his making. He never said he wanted to play that.
I mean, I think he's just quickly to address something. I think he's at Tottenham just a little bit more because then the fans love him. Like, he's 250 grand a week contract, which we all wanted him to sign. Probably keeps him there as well. And you know what? If we offered him 400,000 to stay, then I'd probably want him to sign that as well. But where does it end? Where does the money stop? Where do you draw the line? And where do you start thinking as fans? You've got a responsibility. I think that's what Rory was alluding to earlier when he said we're complicit. We are, because we don't take a moment to take stock of what we're demanding of our football clubs. We just want more. We want the best players. We want all of them. Well,
do you know what, Flev? To build on that, the reason that I said that is because there have been times in my life when I have chanted Roman Abramovich's name. I've been in an away end and we've sung our tune to the tune of Only Fools and Horses about Roman Abramovich and how rich he is. I've been part of that. Now, obviously, I'm appalled at the way that he's conducted himself. I called this a little while ago that things weren't moving in the right direction with Abramovich, but I was in bed with a venture capitalist. Of course this was going to happen. And it was naive to not think that this would be the ultimate objective.
Well, we've had this at Liverpool, we fought to get our owners out. It's been like 10, it was the first season we were on YouTube, so 11 years ago, we started out almost as like a protest channel. And, you know, we got through that. FSG came in, they had 5 years of not really getting it right. And then they got it right and they've done so many things right. And they made Liverpool a sustainable business model and we bought into it and they've engaged the fans and they've brought the fans closer and they've got the right manager, a brand of football that we can all get behind. And that's why I feel so blindsided by this, because you're right, venture capitalists, absolutely, but you know, it's incredible the level of deception that's gone through, and that's why it is, because they've gotten it so right. They've gone from a side where we'd have almost had them out in the first 2 or 3 years to where they've turned it round. They've made Liverpool. They've won the one honour that we've been thirsting for 30 years. They've got Liverpool right back to the pinnacle of football without having to be bottomless pit sugar daddies in doing this. And I don't mean that as in any banterous way or whatever. You know, I like the way that they've gotten Liverpool back to it. And maybe that's pure naivety on our part, but I feel completely...
It was just the one reason, though, wasn't it? Let's be honest, it was to get to this point. And the thing is, you got to look at someone like Glazer, for example. Like, what they want, they want to have a club and actually profitable, because football at the moment isn't that profitable. It isn't. Football is absolutely in financial ruin across Europe at the moment. It's genuinely skin. COVID's obviously exacerbated that massively. When you look at like the NFL, for example, you've got, I don't know, Joe Glazer moved Tampa Bay to LA and they get all the money and all the profit while also getting all the success and the glory. So that's what they want. They want a triple, no, not triple, 20 times their earnings while also having the fun side of it, you know, sat there being superstars and all that kind of stuff. And that's what they want. And one thing about the players, by the way, is I don't think they realize actually, and I hope they do, I hope someone tells them this, that is eventually going to cost the players as well. And if it doesn't cost them directly, it will also cost their mates who are also players, because it'll be about cost control. It will be about salary caps eventually, because they'll do that because it's all about that profit margin. And I don't think players have quite clicked onto that, and they probably should, because there's no way. It may end up better for an elite group of players, but for most of their mates, what happens when they're 30 and they're cast aside like some NFL guys, a little bit older anymore? And I tell you what, the ways between the super clubs and then the rest of the ones in the Premier League, they'll get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that eventually, that could easily be them. So they're essentially looking out for their young colleagues, they're essentially looking out for their future players, and they need to realise this isn't going to benefit them in the long term. I honestly believe that, hand on heart, because it's about profit, and that's what happens over in other places. Salary caps exist, and it will be the Super League eventually, and it will be these clubs eventually, in my opinion, anyway.
The thing, moving this on then, you know, Chris, I've heard it said, and the general tone, I think we have a lot of this when fans try to take up arms and take up protests. We see a lot of times when it doesn't happen, because you end up, it's hard because you've got to face up to infighting in your fan base. I mean, you're wearing the Liverpool protest shirt from 2009. I remember being at those events and people like looking at you like you had two heads because you were protesting outside the ground on a match day. Like, what are you doing? You've got to go in and support the football club.
But which we did, by the way.
Which we still did. But the point is, and I hope this, you know, this is something that can be picked up. I remember when we had the ticket protest, and I know good Liverpool fans, good, you know, intelligent Liverpool fans saying, don't bother, it's a waste of time, your voice won't be heard, nothing can happen. But something, we were able to move the needle, and it might not have been a permanent thing, but we should all take heart from that, is that, you know, we do have a power but it's in the collective. Fans can make a difference.
Paul, you've got to remember as well, the 39th game, that's what I'm clinging on to. We did it with the 39th game. Yeah. That's the track record that fans have a voice and have a power and can have an impact.
And these clubs don't trust each other. They genuinely don't trust each other. They're all snakes and they all know the snakes. And it was only about a year ago when all these clubs were signing, and I'm not getting into the politics, but they were literally signing a letter to get Manchester City taken to court, you know. So City don't trust them, they don't trust City, and vice versa. So there is fissions there and there is genuine mistrust. So you've got to play on that. Of course you do, because they can pretend to be a United front because it obviously benefits them all, but they are not. They are not. They are nowhere near in bed with each other in the way that we think they are. They are to an extent, but they still don't trust each other.
So no, they don't.
As I said earlier, right, with the five mafia families in New York, they don't trust each other either, right? Mm. But they make money together. They chop it up.
No, I'm not denying that.
And it's the same principle here. You know what I mean? The same principle here is, right, we're all going to be guaranteed every year that we're going to make 250, 300 million pounds a year, every single year. We're guaranteeing that. We're in. You in? We're in. That's literally as simple as that with this whole thing. And we've got to keep the pressure on, like these guys are saying. You know what I mean?
You're spot on, Robbie. And just to go back to Paul's point there, it's a unity of strength here for us. That's what it's got to be about. And we've got to show unity, and our fan bases together have got to show unity. But what we've also got to do, which I think is massively important for me anyway, is that we need to know what we want. And I think what we know what we don't want, and we definitely don't want the European Super League. But is the Champions League reform actually much better other than it's competitive?
No.
Maybe at its base level? It's not really. And European football's not really competitive as it stands if you look down on all of the leagues. So we need to propose something, or somebody needs to propose something that we can get behind. Because the alternative is we're going to walk away from the European Super League and we're going to end up eating the shit that UEFA have served. And I don't like eating shit, lads. I don't know about yous. Yeah. But that's what we've got to do. We've got to find something that isn't what UEFA are proposing either, because they're corrupt. Yeah. They're crooks themselves. You know, why have we got a World Cup being moved?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And why are finals getting held in these cities all around the world?
Why did we have to go and play a final in Baku against Chelsea, two English teams? Why are teams able to drop out of the Champions League, come in third, and then can still go on and win a European trophy with the Europa League? These are all the things that they've been doing over the years to try and generate more money as well. It's got nothing to do with football. Bamford spoke out yesterday. He said you had a player the other day racially abused another player. It's been proven, right? And 10-game ban, but yet still with this thing now, they're talking about banning people from playing for their country. Banning, but yeah, I mean, why was there not the same energy with that? So I don't trust.
Don't worry about the betting one where you put a fancy footy team on, by the way, and you get a 12-game ban.
You're right. You're right, Chris. I don't trust UEFA at all. You know, what I mean, even some of these, you know, I've heard people on Sky and that come out, but it was the same Sky that during a pandemic were trying to charge us £15 to watch Sheffield United versus bloody Burnley. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. You know what I mean? They're all the same, right? But the one thing we've got, I think first and foremost, the first battle is we've got to stop this.
Yeah.
We've got to stop this. This, you know, and I agree with what you guys are saying. You know, I mean, we need unity on this. We a lot of times, like you said, within our fan bases, we'll be fighting against each other. Oh, why are you leading it? And what? Listen, I don't care who leads this. All I know is that if we all as one voice, keep the pressure on, because that's all we can do right now. Keep the pressure on. A bit like Mark said, every day that pressure and that energy's got to be the same. That can help to push change right now. Yeah. And, you know, I'm willing, you know, and I'm sure you guys are willing. You know, you've done this stream today. Everybody's jumped on. I'm willing to keep the pressure on this and to play our part, you know, to really get that message across to these billionaire owners that, you know what, right? You're custodians of our club, right? And you've got to treat us better than this. And you're custodians of football as well. You have a responsibility, not just to Arsenal, but you have a responsibility to English football right now,
yeah,
to the other clubs in there, which goes right down to grassroots. Later on, I've got to go and take my son to play football. He aspires to being playing for one of these big clubs, right? So what, you have a responsibility to that kid who's kicking a ball out on his local green, just the same way you have a responsibility to your fans. It's to the whole of football. When you come and you take on one of these big institutions that are these big English football clubs, you have a responsibility beyond just making profit.
Yeah,
you're allowed to make money. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing against the owners of these clubs making a profit. It's a very expensive thing to run. But you've got to understand that this is not just like running any other company. You have a responsibility to your fans, to the history of that club, to the history of the league, right? And if you can't handle that responsibility, get the fuck out. Simple. Yeah.
Nice. And it's one of those things we say about these clubs, Flav, for most of us, I think it's true. We were all raised largely in and around where our football teams were from, of course. Now, of course, that's less and less true with globalization of football. But the idea that you could be excluded from a top tier European tournament because of where you were born, let's put it down to that way, is like, fuck, it's just an absolute madness.
Yeah, it is. And you know what, I think the reason why I'm most hopeful that this Super League doesn't go ahead is, and then it's really important that we do kind of put rivalries aside and we strive together and put pressure on our football clubs and threaten boycotts and making sure that the constant noise around this is always negative, right? It never kind of falters towards the point where it always does with these, not these things, but eventually you get used to an idea and then slowly but surely it happens. And then it's just a part of the fabric. But what we do have here is serious sanctions that are going to be placed on our football clubs. And I think all of us as fans need to be prepared for the impact on that football club. Like if that's going to help us get through to this point. And how much are we going to be willing to sacrifice? Are you guys going to be okay with potentially seeing your team taken out of the league, being taken out of the Champions League? No one's going to be okay with it, but you have to accept the punishment.
Flav, I'm okay with that. I want them to do it.
I kind of want my owners to be punished for this. I don't want them to just go, all right, we're sorry.
Yeah, same, man.
I want to see something happen.
So I was there in Division 2 and I'll be there again. Simple as that.
We're meant to be playing Real Madrid next week. I want that fixture to be aborted. Chelsea do not deserve to play that fixture. I think that there should be huge penalties, by the way, for all of us, even for the plotting, even for the conversations. You see, if Liverpool, it won't be Liverpool, but because Henry's so committed, but pretend it's true that Man City or Chelsea are having second thoughts. Say Man City or Chelsea decide this isn't for us and backtrack. You should still have the book thrown at you for even having the audacity to have these conversations.
You get.
They've signed the bloody. They've signed the contract.
But there's a little bit today's Chris. Chris, I'm with you, by the way. I think it's just Chelsea trying to PR the situation. But there is a thing that I don't believe that says Chelsea are faltering. Chelsea,
which is right. No, I understand that. No, I've seen that as well, Rory. But my point is they've. It's not just collusion here. They've signed a contract, whether they haven't second thoughts or not. But you're absolutely right. The book should be thrown at them, Flav.
If you sign a contract to murder someone, the police still take a pretty grim view of it. You should still be punished, even if the bloke don't get murdered. Conspiracy to murder. There's still been a crime against football committed here.
Yeah.
So these people need to be punished. And you know what? The saddest thing about it will end up impacting us. Points deductions, transfer bans. All that affects our ability to enjoy our football club because somebody at the top for actually making £300 million a year is more important than the fabric of the game.
Yeah.
With no consultation, Flav. With no consultation.
They don't care about us, Robbie. They don't care about us.
No consultation. No one...
We're called legacy fans. They hate us.
I fucking hate that, man. That's the most insulting thing, isn't
mate,
it?
Mate, if you didn't, they don't care about us. They didn't tell Klopp and the Liverpool players. I'm sure they didn't tell the managers of your clubs and the players until the same time we found out. If you think we don't matter, how do you think the footy players are thinking right now?
Do you reckon
they
phoned Ryan Mason up and went, oh, by the way, we're doing this?
I think this as well, by the way. Like, once again, with the players, it's their lives, man. They'll have to be away from their families more. They will have to be flying to... Yeah. And don't get me wrong, these games will be in New York and Dubai and Tokyo and all these places around the world. Of course they will. And anyone who thinks he's got their head genuinely in the sand, they'll have to spend more time away from their families. They'll have to play more games. And I know they'll be very well recuperated for it, but that matters to them. Of course.
Can I just give you an example about how big this is? Because yesterday we did, we lost our manager, Jose Mourinho. He was sacked, right? We did a podcast last night.
In a very weird way, mate.
Yeah. Sat or what did you
say? Best in peace, Jose.
No, listen, he died.
Just to clarify, he's not dead.
Jose Mourinho left our football club, right? Left our football club. And we did a podcast last night and mentioned it within like 2 minute caveat at the end of the podcast.
Have we watched an entire game of fucking football last night? Liverpool played a 90-minute game of football and we looked at the screen for a cumulative time of about 3 minutes. Yeah. Like, we're trying to get into the top four for what?
Today it came out that Aguero apparently has agreed a deal allegedly with Barcelona, Manchester City's probably biggest ever legend. No one is even asking me about it. And I'm like, no one's even talked about it. I've not seen anyone. Normally I get about 20 DMs straight away about Aguero. Yeah. No one cares. It's absolute madness. Yeah. Like,
we found out the team news. Sky had been on. We were watching Sky and they didn't put the team news on until the lads were walking out, basically. Yeah. We found out 5 minutes before the game. Like, I mean, when was the last time you found out 5 minutes before a game that the team was out?
Man.
Boys, I just need to say this call is quite important. Sorry.
No problem. Yeah, it's Daniel Levy coming to kick off. Season ticket cancelled.
Jose is not dead.
You guys said earlier about legacy fans and that being such an insult, right? It's those legacy fans, right, that is the reason why these guys ended up buying these clubs in the first place, right? We've been the ones that have helped to make the history of these clubs. We've been the ones who've been following this club, and it is such a disgusting insult to be describing people as legacy fans. And it's got boring. As I said, the reason why the youngsters don't have turned off from watching football is because of all the greed involved, because of people like Florentino Perez. You know what I mean? And it's so what we're witnessing right now is. Is so.
It's, you know what it is, Robbie.
You know, we knew it all along. The one thing as Arsenal fans, I heard you guys, Chris and Paul. I heard you guys talking about how you guys went and you thought you got it right. And the one thing about our guy, we've known all along. He's what he did the other night is no shock because he's been like that all along since day one. He's come in.
Yeah.
There's not one Arsenal fan that likes that owner because we've seen this. Coming a long time. We've seen that all that guy's about is profit. Simple as. You know, it's just so underhand, so disgusting. And we've got to do something. We've got to take a stand up against this. Yeah. And like Flav said, the sad thing about it is that if there are points deductions or things like that, we, the fans, are going to be the ones that suffer.
Yep.
Because we're absolutely. The ones, we actually care about our club.
Well,
we
think about it already, and it was something I alluded to before, but like, and we've said this about Redmen TV for years, is like, this thing, you have to think about how you conduct yourself because we've got to walk the streets. I've got to take my kids to the shops. You know what I mean? And I would never do something that I would never actively do anything that would bring embarrassment upon myself or the football club or the city because I just don't, it doesn't vibe with me. You know, and this is the problem is, that's the problem with this right now is that our owners have embarrassed us. They've embarrassed our fan bases. You know, they've made us all to look like fucking idiots, you know, and for a variety of reasons, maybe because we all believe, maybe we all drank the Kool-Aid and we all believed in this football fairy tale. And maybe that's why we're all stupid. Everyone's guilty of that, by the way, not just the fans, you know, of the football clubs involved in this. But the fact is they've done something now that's tarnished our football clubs forever.
forever. Yeah. Regardless of the outcome of this, they will always be remembered as this six and what they did and all sorts of derogatory titles that go with it. And we're going to have to live with that as fans forever now because they've chosen to do this. And where the fuck are they? Where are they? Yeah, Florentino Perez is the only one. No, you it was mentioned before. Rory mentioned it before. Joel Glazer. We've heard more from Joel Glazer as
the owner Liverpool's of website, United. On Chelsea's yeah. website, on Man City's website.
Where are Liverpool's owners? Where are Chelsea's yeah. owners? Where I mean, are Spurs owners? Where are City's yeah. owners? Where are Arsenal's owners? Where yeah, are
like,
they?
Like you said, Paul. How cowardly was that last night, right? Yeah. For your owners to push, make Klopp. They know the yeah. questions that are going to be coming his way. How cowardly of them not to even send a representative yeah. to go and speak on behalf of and answer those questions that they know.
Liverpool's CEO should be stood outside Anfield on a podium the same way that Newcastle unveiled Alan Shearer. He needs to be on the steps with the fans around him. He wants to have a town hall meeting. He wants to get in front of everyone and he wants a loudspeaker. Give him a loudspeaker and set and have him come down here and explain it to us and explain yeah. whose decision this was and why they think it's a good idea and he needs to answer for what they've done. And that should be true of all of owners and representative owners of all of the football clubs involved because it's an absolute disgrace.
You're absolutely spot on.
Chris, yeah. I just realised at 4 o'clock I've got to be at the ground. There's a protest going on and I'm going to get down
quality.
There.
Okay, well, listen, Rory, thanks so much for having me.
Good luck, lads. I'll be in touch.
Cheers, Rory. Thank you very much, mate.
Last point from Chris.
Yeah, so. I think for me, you know, there's a few things I've kind of lost my trail of thought, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's massively important that these owners do speak out on why they've done this. But it's also important that we get that discourse with them. I don't want this to be a one-way fucking broadcast.
Yeah.
It's got to be two-way. Yeah. It's got to be a consultation with the fans because you've ignored us for long enough. You have literally bought these football clubs and you will be in charge of them for a smidgen of their lifetimes. And you are making decisions that will affect us and our families for generations because that's what we are. We're not fucking legacy fans. We're generational fans because our families are all bought into this and they always will be fans of our football clubs. You've sold and you've managed to get in on the rich history and work of our fans and former players, not your fucking work for a start. And yet you think you've got the gall to sign up to this shit without us, who we as fans for the last 100 years have put you where you fucking are, you morons. Get out of our clubs.
Yeah, 100%.
I think you're right. Like, we genuinely need to, like, I really do believe that we need to demand answers. Guardiola said, and I've just seen this now, he said in the press conference, I would love the president of the committee to go around the world and explain how he got to this decision. And it's great to see, but already Laporte, Sterling and Mendy have retweeted that. Man City's actual Twitter admin shared that quote and the players retweeted it. So they care. They do care. And that's the point I'm making is, like, we do need to, as Robbie said, keep up the noise against these players because they're affected by it. They're football fans first and foremost as well. That's why they are where they are. And it does matter and it does make a difference if we keep speaking out against this because we can be futile and it's not going to change. Yeah. But we'd be surprised.
You know what? For years and years and years, right, I've been jealous of German fans. When I've gone to Germany and see how those fans are, I've been to games over there and at the end of the game, every single player and the coaching staff come over and thank the fans. I've always been jealous of their relationship with their players.
Bayern Munich, Robbie, are the most hated, hated football club. And yet they're amazing. They treat their fans and visiting fans. The best football experience I've ever had is going to Bayern Munich in terms of how we were treated. And they are the Manchester United heart, the evil of German football. Listen, and yet they've got the common courtesy.
Bayern Munich fans came to our ground. We played them and they unfurled this banner. Talking about the ticket prices and that, right? That our fans had to applaud them. I've been so jealous of their fans. And now you see, as soon as this thing was announced, no German club involved. It can't happen in Germany because the fans own the club.
Yeah.
And that's why they weren't invited, Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We Arsenal now, we owned 100% ownership by Stan Kroenke, who never comes to a game, doesn't care, doesn't give a toss, and now he's trying to drag us into this Super League. It really is a dark time for football. It really is.
It is. It is indeed. Right, look, we've had a bunch of comments come in while we've been doing this, and we're going to fly through them as quickly as possible. Michael Nicosia and Jordan Henderson calling an emergency meeting of the club captains, my hero. Jeans 2311 saying, now this is a Super League I can sign up for. What a lineup. Thanks so much, mate. Joseph Kenny Tipton, if it was amended to be exactly the same as the UCL structure without UEFA hemorrhaging money earned by these clubs, then would we be opposed? It's an interesting question. Scott Denham, a City fan here from the States. The reason I watch European football is because the beauty in a small town club being able to work their way up to the Champions League. Scott Denham again saying, my local team, Detroit City FC, has no chance to get into the MLS without paying, even though it's still hard. Absolutely a shame to be an American right now that we are doing this to the beautiful game. Will N says, how does this all end? I worry this will end in a situation that is a stay of execution rather than a real change and a win for all of us. Chris pointed that out really well earlier as well. Connor Duggan says, relegate every team, I'll follow Liverpool in any division of the English league, but not the billionaires money league. JD saying, particularly for the clubs owned by Americans, could this whole situation be a blessing in disguise? Should it fail, how can they possibly continue? Well, yeah, there's going to be some hard questions asked about ownerships. Sly Ross saying, owners making us ashamed of our clubs. Imagine Joel Glazer on LFC statements. Henry is a coward, sad that I don't even celebrate Mane's goal last night. Yep, absolutely, mate. Joseph Kenny Tipton back again. All 12 founders together are loss-making and debt-ridden, yet UEFA screw top teams in the UCL. Hate the format, but I think it's been heavily forced. Evan Alvarado, I laugh at Florentino Perez trying to save football. Young demographic not engaged in watching, and other excuses at the Spanish TV show. As an NY Red Bulls and soccer fan in general, we don't need saving. There's tons. Thank you so much for everyone who's got involved. There's far too many for me to get through on this, but thank you to everyone who's watched. Thank you to the guys who've joined us for this, of course. Look, the topics will continue, the battle will continue across all the channels, and of course across social medias and what have you. The one thing I'll say, and I can't speak for everyone, I can only speak for myself and our personal experience, is that, you know, if fans stand up both individually with their football clubs and even more so in solidarity together, we can make big changes to this game, because football without fans is nothing. There is no product. We are responsible. And that's not just whether you live in the same postcode worldwide, whether you buy a merchandise, you know, whether you turn up and you watch it on television, or if you go to the grounds and everything in between. If we stand together and we stand up against this, then they will have no choice but to listen to us, and let's hope they do. But listen, thank you so much. Yeah, for myself and Chris from Red Men TV, from Flav from The Fighting Cock, Robbie from AFTV, Steve from Esteem Company, Rory, of course, and Mark Goldbridge as well from United Stand. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to us. I hope this isn't the end. I hope this is the beginning of something better, but it has to be. I don't think any of us wants to live in that world otherwise. Listen, thank you to everyone who's tuned in. You guys are all wonderful. Have a great week. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.